And do you know how many people would probably, like, run away at the sight of dismembered legs?
Yeah. Dude, there's a 4-foot bong and a bag of wheat by your bed.
Tiddlywinks, the parlor game for nerds, is nearing extinction.
It's in my pod! It's in my pod!
I will find proof.
I'm very easily startled, Mr. Fingerman. I don't know which regulation body would regulate the penis ring that you were talking about earlier.
I'm ready to remain conscious as we record this show.
Hey, welcome to the stuff. My name is Mark. I've never seen a single score, says Frankum, and that is Chris. What the hell are you talking about, Fingerman? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Sclerosis is one of those things that I always have to say slowly. I can never just roll into it. I think it's just too many consonants kind of crammed together. If you think about it, it's a longer word. Yeah, consonants. And it only has three vowels, and everything else is a consonant. Sclerosis.
No, I see what you say. Yeah.
Long story short, words are hard.
I think we prove that every week on this show.
Yeah.
So I want to first of all say thank you to Nick. Nick is a listener who suggested multiple sclerosis. He has a family member who was affected by this.
Nailing it,
he's
Nick.
Also sent us, yeah, he's also sent us multiple messages. Somebody sent
a message. Nick has been a longtime fan over the years, hasn't he?
Yeah. We love Nick.
I know Nick. I think Nick actually called us out and we issued a correction once. I forget what it was, but I just remember that.
That sounds total Nick.
Yeah.
That is classic Nick right there.
That's very Nick.
Calling us on our bullshit.
Right.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. No, someone's got to. It's not us. So no,
we're not going to call each other out. We kind of endorse it with each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, this is something that is near and dear to Nick's heart. And so we went, you know what, Nick? You're on, man. You're on. And this week we're going to be talking about multiple sclerosis. Should it be sclerosi? Since it's multiple?
I don't know. I have no idea. Or maybe multiple sclerosis?
Oh, sclerosis.
I feel like if we actually just learn about this, maybe we'll know.
Yeah, but where would we learn about it?
Us. Damn it.
Chicken or the egg, man. Chicken or the egg.
Shit. Yeah, it really screwed us over on that paradox.
So, multiple sclerosis, or MS, affects the brain and spinal cord. Early MS. Oh, look at this. Somebody wrote this all down for us.
That was nice.
Pretty nice of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank them. Early MS symptoms include weakness, tingling, numbness, blurred vision. Other signs include muscle stiffness, thinking problems. Chris, you may have an issue.
Mm-hmm,
and I've got urinary problems. You definitely have an issue. treatments can relieve MS symptoms or delay the disease process, but there is no cure for this.
That's too bad.
So multiple sclerosis is one of the demyelinating.
I think,
yeah, that's right.
Demyelinating. Because getting rid of the myelin sheath.
Yeah, but I made it two, didn't I, by making it die.
No, you spelled it right. D-E.
Yeah, but I pronounced it wrong.
Yeah, you did.
I made it two myelinatings.
Well, you know, we started off with multiple sclerosis, and then you tried to multiply the myelinatings. This actually makes sense, Mark. Don't be so hard on yourself.
It is probably the most well-known demyelinating disease, and that is any condition that results in damage to the protective covering or the myelin sheath that surrounds the nerve fibers in your brain, optic nerves, and spinal cord. When the myelin sheath is damaged, nerve impulses slow down or even stop, causing neurological problems.
Sometimes they even stop, drop, turn around, open up shop.
Or they stop, drop, and roll.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. The cause of MS is not known. I think we just covered it. It's the demyelinating. Anyway. Scientists believe MS is triggered by a combination of factors. And to identify the cause, research is ongoing in the areas of immunology, which is a study of the body's immune system. Epidemiology, the study of disease patterns in large groups of people. Or groups of large people.
Large groups of large people.
Right. I want to be part of this study. I'm sorry, sir, but you need to gain some weight.
Right.
Okay.
And you're only 5'8".
Which is ironic since one of the suspected, we'll get into a little bit, one of the suspected causes is obesity. So. Genetics, understanding the genes that may not be functioning correctly in a person who develops MS. And infectious agents such as viruses.
From Russia.
Ooh, yeah. Or China.
Yeah. I can see Russia from my house.
What?
I said, I can see Russia from my house.
No, you can't. You live in
Now there's Tina Fey once did an impression of Sarah Palin, mm-hmm. and it was awesome.
Understanding what causes MS will speed the process of finding more effective ways to treat it and ultimately cure it or even prevent it from occurring in the first place.
Wow.
So what kind of factors we got going down here, big dog?
Mm-hmm. Well, so immunologic factors. So in MS, an abnormal immune response causes inflammation and damage to the CNS, which is the central nervous system. So many different cells are involved in the abnormal immune response. So two important types of immune cells are T cells and B cells. T as in turtle, B as in basketball, or bobbit, or brain, or just ball. Box is another good B word. Breast. We did an episode on breast cancer. Go back to learn about that. Best, as in I'm pushing my best foot forward.
Now, would it be as in keep it moving?
No, see, keep it moving starts with a K, like as in key or kite. So,
you know my daughter.
Or
that poor young woman who has been blessed with me as her father.
Sure, that's one way to put it, yeah.
So, while she was growing up, and I'm talking like 4, 5, and 6, you would play, what game do you play in the car with your kids sometimes?
Oh, I Spy.
Yeah, or maybe the alphabet game, where you read the alphabet off in order on the sign.
Sometimes I just say, hey, let's hold your breath till you don't talk anymore, and they pass out.
So one of the things I would do is I'd be like, ooh, never mind, I got A as in kite, because it's in kite. And then lift it up to her to figure out that there wasn't an A in kite.
Billy. One of my favorite jokes as a kid was...
well, then I wonder why she has trust issues with me.
Perfect. One of my favorite jokes as a kid was, hey, so in the word Safeway, how do you take the F out of way? And you would say, but there ain't no F in way. You're like, exactly. anyway, so...
I like that.
It's all right. So, two important types of immune cells are... T cells and B cells. I think I gave enough example of B words to get everyone on the same page. T cells become activated in the lymph system and in MS, enter the central nervous system through blood vessels. Once in the CNS, T cells release chemicals that cause inflammation and damage. This results in damage to myelin, nerve fibers, and the cells that make up myelin. T cells are also important to help activate B cells and call on other immune system cells to participate in the immune attack. So T regulatory cells, a type of T cell, as in turtle, talk, telephone, dampen, or turn off inflammation. In MS, T regulatory cells do not function correctly and do not effectively turn off inflammation. Cytotoxic or killer T cells directly attack and destroy cells bearing certain characteristics. B cells. Like
wearing the colors of another gang.
Exactly. For example, you have the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Have the Sharks.
Sharks.
I guess in this way, since they're killer, they'd be the whales. Killer whales.
Fair enough. Go whales! So B cells become activated with the help of T cells. B cells produce antibodies and stimulate other proteins, and in MS, fuck, I'm yawning.
Really? You're hiding it well.
B cells produce antibodies and stimulate other proteins, and in MS, these cause damage in the CNS. So researchers continue to search for other cells and processes that could be involved in MS. Ongoing efforts to learn more about the immune-mediated process in MS, what sets it in motion, how to slow it or stop it, will bring us closer to understanding the cause, better therapies, and hopefully, ultimately, someday, a cure. So, some environmental factors. Environment being the world around you. The more you know. Dung! Anyway, although the cause of MS is not known, more is being learned about environmental factors that contribute to the risk of developing MS. There is no single risk factor that provokes MS, but several factors are believed to contribute to the overall risk. So, geographic gradient. MS is known to occur more frequently in areas that are farther from the equator. That would be the middle. It's like the Earth's belt. like over-explaining everything today. Epidemiologists, which are scientists who study disease patterns in large groups of people or groups of large people, still going on that, people being humans, are looking at variations in geography, demographics, such as age, gender, ethnic background, genetics, infectious causes, and migration patterns in an effort to understand why. Now, when they say migration patterns, they're not referring to birds. They're referring to people. Studies have shown...
Well, okay, but if it was elderly people, is migration patterns just like birds because they all head south in the winter?
No, could be. Mm-hmm. So...
Unless you're in the southern hemisphere, then you head north.
That's fair. My mind's kind of blown. Anyway, so studies have shown that people born in an area with a high risk of MS who then move or migrate to an area with a lower risk before the age of 15 assume the risk of their new area. So, such data suggests that exposure to some environmental agent before puberty may predispose a person to develop MS later on. MS clusters, Mark?
Yes?
Quotes? Thank you.
Sorry.
The perception that very high numbers of cases of MS have occurred in a specific time period or location may provide clues to environmental or genetic risk for the disease. So far, cluster studies in MS have not produced clear evidence for the existence of any causative or triggering factor or factors in MS.
So, vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Growing evidence suggests that vitamin D plays an important role in MS. Low vitamin D levels in the blood have been identified as a risk factor for development of MS. Mm. Some researchers believe that sun exposure of the natural source of vitamin D, or that is the natural source of vitamin D, may help explain the north-south distribution of MS. People who live closer to the equator are exposed to greater amounts of sunlight year-round. As a result, they tend to have higher levels of naturally produced vitamin D, which is thought to support immune function and may help protect against immune-mediated diseases like multiple sclerosis. Smoking. So, Chris?
Yes.
Would you say this is reason 10 million or 10 million and two to quit smoking?
You know, Mark, I don't know if there's any good reasons to quit smoking. In fact, I would say if you haven't started smoking yet, go ahead and smoke. Because the big thing that Mark and I are worried about right now is that people stop calling 911 that due to COVID. And we need to increase these numbers. So I think if I make an investment now and say, just slowly, because here's the thing, smoking, dying from smoking is just fucking terrible way to go. Like, it's not. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, here's the thing. If I can convince just one of you to pick up smoking for at least the last 10 years of your life, we're going to get like 2-3 911 calls from you a month where you're trying to struggle to breathe. Oh, yeah.
We're talking tens of thousands of dollars of revenue for the industry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just that's the pre-hospital industry, yeah.
Yeah, quite frankly, I mean, I think I deserve a cut. I mean, AMR, any of the big guys, Falk, you guys listening? Like, yeah, so if I could, if you guys could do that. Oh, and then think about it also, like, it causes impotence. So, like, the pharmaceutical industry that's going to benefit from this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, all sorts of stuff.
You know, from the from Big Pharma to Big Ambo to Big Ed.
Yeah. So, just remember.
I mean, we'll all benefit.
And you look cool when you smoke.
Right. Exactly. We'll look at Joe Camel.
Right. The coolest guy around.
So, medical stuff lawyer is talking to me right now, and we have to say, do not start smoking. It's really bad for you.
We should also tell Mark to stop smoking whatever the hell he is smoking, because I can guarantee you we don't have any fucking lawyers.
So, right.
So whoever he is talking to is thoroughly...
I was trying to make us sound big and important, and Chris just shot me down.
they know.
So the evidence is also growing that smoking plays an important role in MS. Studies have shown that smoking increases a person's risk of MS and is associated with more severe diseases and with more severe disease and more rapid disease progression. So not only does it help you get it, it helps you progress further down the path more quickly. Ew. Fortunately, the evidence also suggests that stopping smoking, whether before or after the onset of MS, is associated with a slower progression of disability. Obesity. Kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because, I mean, I lose a bunch of weight, I become a skinny, tall guy, I get PEs.
Yeah,
I keep the weight, and I get 19 other diseases. maybe I'm over... No, it's not PEs. What the hell is it? Pneumothorax.
Pneumothorax. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Or if you have more than one, pneumothoraces.
I thought it was thoraxes, but no, perfect.
Several studies have shown that obesity in childhood and adolescence, particularly in girls, is increased the risk of later developing multiple sclerosis. Other studies have shown that obesity in early adulthood may also contribute to an increased risk of developing this disease. And obesity may contribute to the inflammation and more MS activity in those who are already diagnosed with MS. So, infectious factors. Many viruses and bacteria, including measles, canine, distemper, human herpes virus 6, Epstein-Barre virus, and, the old chlamydia, pneumonia.
Oof. Gotta love the clap.
Yeah, the clap.
No, actually, clap, no, I think gonorrhea is actually the clap.
Oh, yeah. We'll just call this clam moans. How about that for chlamydia and pneumonia?
Sounds good.
I got a case of the clam moans. have been investigated or are being investigated to determine if they are involved in the development of multiple sclerosis. Epstein-Barre virus. The virus that causes mono,
yeah,
has received significant attention in the recent years. A growing number of research findings indicate that previous infection of EBV, Epstein-Barre virus, contributes to the risk of developing MS.
Nice.
And then genetical factors.
Let's get genetical.
MS is not an inherited disease, meaning it's not a disease that's passed down from generation to generation. However, there's always a fucking however in here. In MS, there is a genetic risk that may be inherited. In the general population, the risk of developing MS is about 1 in 750 to 1,000. Wow, that's a lot lower than I thought it would be.
Yeah, boy, no kidding.
If identical twins, if one has MS, the risk that the other will develop MS is about 1 in 4. The risk of developing MS is also increased when other first-degree relatives, parents, siblings, children have MS. So if it's not passed down, then why does it make a difference if your parents have it? I think Big Pharma's lying to us.
Could be.
Yeah.
It's not inherited.
So the siblings or children, see, I don't understand that. That seems
well, I mean, they could be saying that maybe there's a risk that makes you more susceptible to possible environmental factors or obesity. Like, for example, like just because your parents had it, I don't know. Maybe it's not like, yeah. But like, maybe like there are certain diseases where you can be like, hey, like if your parents have this, you will have this, or you have a one in something chance. Maybe there's no consistent.
Yeah, true.
So,
well, they say increases. It does increase with other first degree relatives, but far less than in identical twins, which makes sense.
Hmm.
So we're going to say that makes sense and just move on.
Moving on. So disproven theories.
About 200 genes have been identified that each contribute a small amount to the overall risk of development of MS. Research is ongoing to better understand genetic risks and other factors that contribute to the development of MS. Sorry, you going to say something?
Going to say something? No, I was going to do the disproven theories part. I was just kind of jumping into it.
So you were just jumping in there in the wrong time. You weren't following my lead.
Look, here's the thing, man. I just
my parade.
I just assumed you're going to need to be bailed out again. That was just, you know, I mean, at this point, I just tune out until I'm like,
OB-GYN.
I just, yeah, we just plummeted right now.
I wonder if that person still listens and realizes the gift that he really gave us.
I kind of hope he does. I really hope he does.
And on some level, I hope I redeem myself a little.
Yeah. God damn it. Did you just get me?
Huh?
Damn it. Nothing, actually. Not even going to worry about that. Anyway, my phone did not go off. So, disproven theories. Over the years, there have been many theories, and it wasn't you this time.
I know.
Yeah. Is that what hurts? It was actually that guy that wrote that review.
That's the part it's not that you have it. It's the fact that I didn't do it. So.
All right.
Because I feel like I've failed now.
Right. All right. So, disproven theories. Over the years, there have been many theories suggested as the cause of MS, and many of these have been disproven. Disproven theories include, but are not limited to, environmental allergies, exposure to household pets, exposure to heavy metals like mercury, or including mercury, amalgam and tooth fillings, lead, or even manganese, consumption of artificial sweetener. So, just to be clear, these are all things that have been disproven. Mm-hmm. So you won't No, exposure.
Your dog didn't give it to you.
Yeah, and neither did the artificial sweetener. So
right, or the bat.
Exactly. So common early signs of multiple sclerosis include vision problems. You're not able to forecast which direction your company should go. You're really not sure what next steps you should take. You lack vision. Different thing. Visual problems are one of the most common symptoms of MS. Inflammation affects the optic nerve and disrupts central vision. This can cause blurred.
Can I tell you something really quick?
Please.
I just remembered this. This is actually from a call we had today. Patient was blind.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with his complaint. But on the notes, it said, patient is blind, has a seeing eye dog. He was complaining of a headache. No vision changes.
Yeah.
I started laughing. I'm like, what, they expect it was going to give him his vision back or something? I got a really bad headache, but I can see, so I'm just going to tough through this.
Could you imagine being the dispatcher that asked that and is like, no, shit. Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things you say, then as you say it, you're like, fuck. You know, like, damn. Right.
I heard it. Yeah. It's like the firefighter that told me not to throw away the sharp so that we could recheck a blood sugar later on a hypoglycemic patient.
That's my story that I told.
Oh, is it your story?
Yeah.
Damn it.
But
was I there with you?
No, it was told the story many, many times. Now, if I'm going to lie and pretend I haven't done what you just did many, many times, that's bullshit. Right. In fact, the problem is when you're a paramedic, here's the truth. Crazy stories are not as unique. Like I've told a story about a guy who got a ring around his twig and berries, and people be like, oh, that's HIPAA. You told him, like, actually, do you know how unique that is? It's sad how not unique men sticking their junk in the rings is. It happens way too much. I did not narrow this man down. There's still way too many out there. But
even if you knew the demographic area in which we work,
right. It would
still plenty of instances.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I know several people who have a similar but a slightly different story. And it's not that different. Mm-hmm. The difference is different address. That's it.
Right.
So anyway. Right. So vision problems. Tingling and numbness. MS affects nerves in the brain and spinal cord, the body's message center, BT dubs. And this means it can send conflicting signals around the body. Sometimes no signals are sent. This results in numbness. Tingling sensations and numbness are one of the most common warning signs of MS. Common sites of numbness include the face, arms, legs, fingers, and soul. So, pains. Sorry. Pains and spasms. As another early sign, weakness or fatigue, which is kind of a hard sign to narrow down because there's a lot of things that have weakness and fatigue.
Right.
Balance problem.
No, I elaborated on some of these, but not all of them. Otherwise, we've been here for another hour.
Oh, fuck yeah, we would. That's a long-ass list. So
I just hit the high points.
Right. Balance problems or dizziness. So dizziness and problems with coordination and balance can decrease the mobility of someone with MS for obvious reasons. You get tired of falling over. Your doctor may refer to these as problems with your gait. A gait, I believe, is the measurement of the big toe to the back of your heel. And if it's inconsistent, that's a problem, or if it's too short or too long. Anyway, so people with MS often feel lightheaded, dizzy, or as if their surroundings are spinning. Called vertigo. This symptom often occurs when you stand up. Bladder issues, sexual dysfunction, cognitive problems, hearing loss, seizures, uncontrollable shaking, breathing problems, slurred speech, trouble swallowing. So, types of MS. So
a gait is a person's manner of walking.
I wonder if one of the ways...
It's the easy gait of an athlete.
Gotcha. I wonder if it's one of the things where they... Like, one of the things they do, like, your gait is they measure. Because I know... A relative of mine was having some frequent falls, and so they did a gait measurement, and they just measured.
Is it you?
No, it wasn't. It was a relative of mine.
Okay, because you do have frequent falls.
Yeah, I do, but unfortunately, my gait is normal, so I don't really have an excuse. Like, I wish someone would be like, yeah, dude, something's wrong with your gait. It's like, no, you're just klutzy and can't see below your knees, apparently. Which, in all fairness, that is a long way down there. So there are several types of MS. Let's talk about those. So there is no way to predict with any certainty an individual's disease course. Four basic MS diseases. Four basic MS diseases. Fuck me. Four basic MS disease courses, also called types or phenotypes, have been defined by the International Advisory Committee on Clinical Trials of MS in 2013. That does not roll off the tongue. Who thought of that name? Because you imagine, like, oh, hey, man, like, who do you work for? Oh, I work for the International Advisory Committee. And most people would stop listening there because that's enough words. But no.
I work for the IOCOCTOMS.
2013. You know, like, it's just, yeah. So anyway, clinically isolated syndrome, relapsing, remitting, secondary progressive, and primary progressive. So although not considered a course of MS, radiologically isolated syndrome, RIS, has been used. It used to be isolated radiological syndrome, but the IRS already had that acronym. So anyway, I tried. Has been used to classify those with abnormalities on MRI of the brain and or spinal cord. Right, I know. I got to bring myself down to your level so there's some balance every now and again.
Yeah, because you swing for the fence every single time.
Christopher doesn't need to swing for the fence, Mark. It's effortless. Basically, the ball.
You have to swing for the fence because you're definitely not catching. I've seen you do that.
Well, not at the same time. But anyway. All right, look, you know what? You ever see a guy in the outfield also up the bat at the same time? No, Mark, you don't. I'm a natural baseball player. What can I say?
You ever see the guy in the outfield that has to catch a pop-up fly by squatting and catching it overhand?
You ever see my middle finger? Because I'm holding it as high as testicles? I can right now. Look south.
How are your testicles doing, by the way?
They're fine.
Oh, have we told that story before?
I am not sure. It's a boring story. We can just
not from my point of view, it wouldn't.
So this one time,
anyway, moving on.
No, let's just dive down it. Okay. Why not? People want to know about Christopher's testicles.
Well, here you go. Just a second. So Chris can throw well or catch well when playing catch. He can't do both in the same session.
Right.
Right. So it's either good throws to me or he's catching everything I throw his way and I'm chasing a bunch of balls.
Right. Absolutely.
Chris also can't catch underhanded or couldn't at the time. He would squat and catch overhanded.
Yeah.
I don't know if he couldn't. He just wouldn't.
Well, I think.
So.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's just kind of one of those things like I think I have a bad judge of whether something's going to be a grounder or not. And so a squat is if I'm going to scoop a grounder and then I'm like, no shit, that's way high. I have to go back up for it.
So we're on post in uniform at the end of this road and we're throwing the ball back and forth and I throw a pop up to him. He squats. Misses the ball, it hits the ground and goes straight for his testicles.
Oh, yeah. The thing bounced between my legs and goes right up into my nutsack. So
right.
We decide that we should probably write an incident report for this.
Well, there was an on-the-job injury, obviously.
Absolutely. But we didn't want to, we didn't want to out Mark as the cause of it. And so we drew stick figures and we drew a path of the ball and we drew a little picture of my nuts on the stick figures. And the path.
But my stick figure had glasses and a mustache and said unknown assailant.
Your stick figure looked exactly like you. Like it was one of those things. Like it was very clear.
Other than the weight factor, it was me.
Yeah. It was just, it was exactly like there was nobody would look at that and be like, huh, who is this guy? And so we turned it.
And thankfully, for clarification purposes, Chris labeled his testimony. Well,
you need to, my drawing wasn't great, Mark. I thought a label would be helpful. And so then we turned it into the supervisor and he threw it away. I don't know why. What a dick. Anyway. All right. So
RIS.
Right. So RIS. So not considered a course of MS. It has been used to classify those with abnormalities on MRI of the brain and or spinal cord, consistent with lesions of MS, not explained by another diagnosis, and who also have no past or current neurological symptoms or abnormalities found on a neurological exam. Often these individuals have an MRI because of other symptoms such as a headache and were found to have lesions that appear similar to those seen in MS. So, while these individuals may go on to develop symptoms and then be diagnosed with MS, not everyone goes on to develop MS. There are no specific treatment guidelines for RIS and monitoring of MRI neurological symptoms and neurological examination are generally recommended to quickly identify any such changes. If the diagnosis is MS, treatment can be started early. Research interest in RIS is high, and several studies are ongoing, which could prevent more guidance. Could provide more guidance for monitoring and treatment. Four disease courses have been identified: multiple sclerosis, and we're going to go over those now. So the first one, clinically isolated syndrome. So CIS, let's call it CIS, is a first episode of neurological symptoms caused by inflammation and demyelination in the central nervous system. The episode, which by definition must last for at least 24 hours, is characteristic of multiple sclerosis but does not yet meet the criteria for a diagnosis of MS because people who experience a CIS may or may not go on to develop MS. When CIS is accompanied by lesions on a brain MRI, which is magnetic resonance imaging, if you didn't know, they put you in a tube, take picture, makes little slices of the brain like a teleslicer, not literally, just the image. Anyway, that are similar to those seen in MS, the person has a high likelihood of a second episode of neurologic symptoms and diagnosis of relapsing remitting MS. When CIS is not accompanied by MS-like lesions on a brain MRI, the person has a much lower likelihood of developing MS. In 2017, diagnostic criteria for MS made it possible to diagnose MS in a person with CIS who also has specific findings on the brain MRI that provide evidence of an earlier episode of damage in a different location and indicate active inflammation in a region other than the one causing the current symptoms. As MRI technology improves,
I will pronounce every single vowel.
Jesus, sir. Christ, I know. The diagnosis of MS will be made more quickly and easily. In the meantime, individuals with CIS who are considered at high risk for developing MS may now be treated with a disease-modifying therapy that has been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, for that purpose.
Assuming you're in the U.S.
Right, exactly. If not, that'd be kind of awkward. But early treatment of CIS has been shown to delay the onset of MS. So that's good.
So relapsing remitting MS, RRMS, rooms.
Room.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, rooms. The most common disease course is characteristic by a clearly defined attacks of new or increasing neurologic symptoms. These attacks, also called relapses or exacerbations, are followed by periods of partial or complete recovery, which would be called remissions. During remissions, all symptoms may disappear or some symptoms may continue and become permanent. However, there is no apparent progression of the disease during the period of remission. At different points in time, our rooms can be further characterized by either active, with relapses and or evidence of new MRI activity, or not active, as well as worsening, a confirmed increase in disability over a spaced period of, or a specific period of time following a relapse, or not worsening. Approximately 85% of people with MS are diagnosed with RUMS. So secondary progressive multiple sclerosis are SPMS. SPMS follows an initial relapsing remitting recourse. Some people who are diagnosed with RUMS will eventually transition to a secondary progressive course in which there is progressive worsening of neurologic function, accumulation of disability over time. SPMS can be further characterized at different points in time as either active with relapses and or evidence of new MRI activity or not active, as well as with progression, evidence of disease worsening on an objective measure of changing over time or without relapses or with regression. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of information there.
Yeah.
So primary progressive MS or MS. No, I don't like that one. MS, there we go. A little less aggressive. MS is characterized by worsening neurologic function, accumulation of disability, from the onset of symptoms without early relapses or remissions. MS can be further characterized at different points in time as either active, with occasional relapse and or evidence of new MRI activity, or not active, as well as with progression, evidence of disease worsening on an objective measure. Right. Objective measure of change over time with or without relapse or new MRI activity. Or, bring it on home, Big Daddy, without progression. Approximately 15% of people with MS are diagnosed with MS. Whew. A lot of information.
But you're nailing it, Mark.
Straight up, baby. Straight out of Mark's mouth, not out of Compton. Yeah. That's right. I'm from the streets.
Okay, yeah. Boy, the streets. So I can do pumice, or did you just do pumice?
You were hanging on to my every word, weren't you?
Yeah, totally was.
We're at treatments, Chris. I'm at treatments. The audience is at treatments. Where's Chris?
Just Jack.
Chris is way down the bottom of the page, apparently.
Yeah, I'm clicking around like, where the fuck do I need to be? So there's no cure for MS. But medicines and lifestyle changes can help you manage the disease. Work closely with your doctor to find treatment that's best for you and causes the fewest side effects. So disease-modifying drugs, or DMDs. If you have a type of, it's not really called DMDs. If you have a type of multiple sclerosis called relapsing remitting MS, like we talked about earlier, and your condition is acting up, your doctor may first treat you with a disease modifying drug. So these medicines slow down the advance of your disease and prevent flare-ups. The drugs work by curbing the immune system, your body's main defense against germs, so that it doesn't attack the protective coating called myelin that surrounds your nerves. Some drugs come as injections under your skin or into a muscle. The shot might make your skin sore, red, itchy, or dimply. So if your multiple sclerosis flares up, steroids can treat your symptoms quickly. How do you know if you're having an MS flare? Here are some signs. Your symptoms suddenly worsen for a short time. You have symptoms you've never had before or notice old symptoms return. Your unusual symptoms last at least 24 hours or up to 48 hours. Your symptom flares don't result from an infection, stress, fever, or any other clear reason. For mild MS flares, you may not even need steroids, even if you like them. Your symptoms will slowly get better on their own. If symptoms affect your ability to walk, see, or function, your doctor can prescribe a short-term dose of steroids. Steroids will work best to treat your MS flare if you start treatment within 14 days after the symptoms begin. So, can they actually help, though? An MS flare is caused by inflammation in your nerves and myelin. The sheath of tissue around your nerves, it's the myelin, I've said that a couple times, steroids can help relieve your MS flare because they reduce inflammation. So, yes, it can help. Mark, why don't you do the next one?
Pardon me?
Well, why don't you do the next one?
Well, now you're doing great.
No, I think that seems like one that just you should really do.
You mean natalizumab?
Yeah, all right, I'll take it from here.
Is that where we are? Yeah. Or Tysabri?
All those things.
Is a treatment for people with a relapsing form of MS. It makes flares happen less often.
You're a relapsing form of MS.
From getting, what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
It keeps disability, physical disabilities from getting worse quickly. Natalizumab works in different ways from other multiple sclerosis drugs. It keeps white blood cells of the immune system from entering the brain and spinal cord, which doctors think play an important part. Important role in the damaging effects of MS. So, interferons.
Interferon, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Your body makes interferons naturally. They form these three forms, alpha, beta, and gamma, control the activity of your immune system. But doctors can use man-made versions of these forms to treat MS with, especially with interferon beta. You know, he goes in, he makes suggestions to the alpha. Right. The alpha listens to him a lot. He's like the worm tongue of the cell.
I've actually followed really? That more than I think. No. I followed that. That was good. Okay. That was fine.
Okay, cool.
Stop yelling at me, Mark.
Interferon beta medications reduce the frequency of exacerbations and stabilize the course of the disease. They may also slow down how quickly symptoms get worse. And help people have less physical disability over time.
So, Ampira. About 3/4 of people with MS have trouble walking. It can be one of the most challenging parts of the condition. Ampira is a medication that helps you get around more easily. Unlike other MS treatments, it won't keep symptoms from getting worse or change the course of the disease. It just helps you walk. I feel like that's one of the symptoms that it's preventing from getting worse. It's kind of hard to be like, yeah, one of the symptoms is trouble walking. Well, by no, the way.
But yeah, but you also have the vision disturbances. You have the inability to swallow. You have.
Oh, I know.
Thought process.
I know,
but this specifically addresses walking.
Yeah, I know. But what it says, it won't keep symptoms from getting worse. I'm like, technically, it keeps one of them from getting worse.
Yeah, but that would be symptom, not symptoms.
Hmm. Still.
It's a thin ledge to stand on, but goddamn, I'm going to.
But I stake my claim. So how does it work? Well, Ampira helps electrical signals move better along the nerves in your brain and spinal cord, thus effectively treating some symptoms. When you have MS, your nerves lose a protective coating called myelin. That helps messages zip up and down your body. That means your muscles don't get clear signals that tell them when and how to move. Ampira restores the flow of those signals and helps your nerves send their messages more effectively. So, research.
Well, real quick, I will say, there are a lot of other treatments out there. I kind of picked the three or four that sounded interesting.
True.
But, I mean, I could have given list after list after list of... just medications, and we could have described them all. And, oof.
Gosh.
Yeah, that would be rough. There are quite a few treatment regimes.
Look, so here it is, guys. Really... Mark and I can't read. Like, it's very hard for us. And basically...
We're actually making all this up as we go.
Well, and first thing, Mark has to write it down, and then he gives it to someone smarter, and they translate it into pictures for us.
Right. Like, I wrote MS bad.
Right.
And we got all this.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. In art form. Yeah. I'm almost done coloring. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bookend this thing right here. So some research. Let's talk research, shall we, Mark?
Let's talk about research,
baby. Let's talk about
MS and me.
Ooh, hey, there you go. So although researchers haven't been able to identify the cause of MS with any certainty, Mike Tyson through half.
I used to have a lisp.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I had to go to speech therapy classes growing up.
Well, crazy.
Thank you for bringing up a very painful part of my life.
Hey, you know, you talked about the time that I was assaulted on work or at work. So we're even by an unknown assailant. And it was not my own doing. There has been excellent progress in other areas of MS research, especially the development of new treatments to prevent exacerbations of the disease. New discoveries are constantly changing treatment options for patients. Some researchers are investigating promising avenues for therapeutics, such as drugs.
Good thing we're finishing this up, man. I don't think you're going to make it.
Seriously, I got to edit it, too. such as drugs that would protect myelin cells from damage or that could help them recover after an attack. Interfering with the inflammatory cells and substances involved in the development of MS lesions or keeping immune system cells from crossing the blood-brain barrier could potentially thwart an attack. Thwart, not wart. Thwart. Mm-hmm. Several studies have shown that destroying the immune system with chemotherapy and then replacing it with the immune system stem cells obtained from the patient's own blood can halt the development of new MS lesions. This treatment appears to reset the immune system so that it no longer attacks the brain. This strategy is being tested in clinical trials right now. Other studies are investigating whether transplanting stem cells derived from bone marrow, called mesenchymal stem cells, may be helpful in MS. So, a 2009 study suggests that a condition called chronic cerebrospinal fluid venous insufficiency, CCSVI, which results from inadequate blood flow in the veins leading from the brain, may contribute to the symptoms of MS. The suggested treatment called for reopening the veins that led to the central nervous system, or that lead to the central nervous system.
Maybe we shouldn't put that line in, because talk about reopening right now is a little...
It's a little... Yeah. That's a little... some would say
we could get a flare,
right?
From that,
some would say that we should reopen immediately. Others say that vein. Maybe, right? Yeah, the vein. Anyway,
yeah, we're talking about the veins.
Yeah, just the veins, not barbershops. Anyway, however, study results by the same investigators released in 2017 show the treatment to be ineffective. Just
say. Huh. Strange correlation that we may come across in the next 6 to 9 months. That reopening was not an effective treatment.
Oh.
Okay, moving on.
Well, hopefully there's something else that'll just trump that. So other studies are trying to find ways to stop progression of the disease in MS patients with primary progressive MS or secondary progressive MS and to restore neurological function in these individuals. Researchers are investigating whether symptoms that do not respond to FDA-approved immunomodulatory treatments may be caused by problems. Yeah, I nailed that. Minimal pause.
Man, you're like that guy on, what is that Japanese show where they have to go through the whole obstacle course?
Right.
Where they have that one that spins and they just kind of tippy toe really fast across the top of
and
them.
Everyone's just kind of exactly blown away. Word. Yeah. Which I don't know if the fact
exactly
that I'm having.
Just did to that word.
I don't know if my end zone celebration right now, like, doesn't just go ahead and take away the fact that I got over it, you know? Like.
You know, I really should read the rest of this now because you're just not going to beat that. You have, that is your high point for the show.
Yeah,
right,
pretty much. Christobon's going to bow out. And Mark, yeah, so immunomodulatory, fuck.
Yeah, see, dude, man, hey, now your name's just Daedalus.
Right. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and keep reading. I just brought myself back in. Again, stooping back to your level. So treatments may be caused by problems with the energy-producing parts of neuronal cells called mitochondria. Investigators also are trying to develop ways to help brain cells called oligodendrocytes produce new myelin in order to strengthen or repair damaged cells of the brain and spinal cord. He is back. Research funded by the NINS are also, which sounds like a Monty Python, like Knights, like the Knights to Go, you know?
No, I was thinking more Secret of NIM.
Oh, yeah.
Which was actually the rats were released from a secret medical research facility, if I remember correctly.
I've never seen the movie.
What?
Yeah. I know it's.
Stop talking. Go watch a fucking movie right
okay,
now.
Medical stuff will return next week after Chris watches.
I'm
going
to stay. You just have to go watch that movie.
This
right
is going
to
be a 3-hour long episode.
Yeah. Just quiet. Listen to my dog snore for the next few hours while you watch the movie. You need to scar your children with that movie immediately.
Okay. All right. By the NINDS is also exploring the roles of susceptibility genes, quotes, these are genes that are associated with an increased risk for MS. So several candidate genes have been identified and researchers are studying their function in the nervous system to discover how they may lead to the development of MS. This information may help to develop drugs that work specifically on those genes or on collections of multiple genes that work together. They are specifically affected in MS. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba, it's edutainment at its best.
At its best, yeah. It's the Mark and Chris show. So the other day I was at work, I was driving to the hospital.
No way.
And there's a song on the radio, and it's When Doves Cry by Prince.
Oh, nice. Sing a few bars.
So we're standing there getting the patient checked in, and I've got the song running through my head. And I stop and think, I wonder if doves can actually cry.
Oh, shit.
Because if they can't, Prince is a liar.
He's also
dead.
If
they can, maybe he was a secret entomologist. Right? Entomology is the studies of birds, right?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Well, we're going to Google that shit right now, aren't we?
Yeah,
let's see.
As we both pick up our
entomology.
Phones.
Entomology is the study of bugs, insects.
Damn it. What's the study of birds?
Aviology. The study of...
If you put the word... What's the study of birds?
Ornithology.
Ornithology. Damn it, it was such a good joke. Fuck. Anyway, back to the rest of the joke. According to
vocabulary.com. Hi, Google.
Way to go, Google. Thank you.
Well, today it's going to be Chris and Mark and with our special guest, Google.
So anyway, I'm standing there, I'm thinking, can doves cry? Because I mean, it's gonna change the music for me a little bit if they can't actually cry.
Well, so did you find out?
Text it. I Google it as I'm standing there waiting for the patient to get checked in, and it says, "Yes, doves can produce tears that are generally used for lubrication and moistening of the eyes. Whether they can use said tears to lament a overly bold father or an insatiable mother is outside my realm of expertise." And I lolled right there in the middle of the admitting area at the hospital.
Oh, that is perfect.
Yes, it was absolutely perfect.
Well, hey, so, before we wrap up today's episode.
More importantly, on MS, this is all I have. How about you?
Oh, that is all I have. But hey, before we wrap up today's episode, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in and checking out EMS 2020. It's a podcast that Spencer and I do where we do case studies. We review calls that have been run in the past, and we try and pick out some learning lessons from them. So yeah, we launched with 3 episodes. You guys, the support's been really great. The downloads have been really great, and we hope that it goes further. On Wednesday of this week, we'll be releasing a 4th episode that's about some mysterious hypotension, and no one can figure out what the fuck this guy's problem is, but we try anyway. So yeah,
also if you're looking a little bit of for a podcast about to help you with a little bit of guidance and faith, we have a fellow podcaster named Bob who has a Positive Light podcast, and he discusses his faith with Jesus and life.
Yeah, so there you go. If that's your deal,
definitely check him out. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey.
So that's all I have, Mr. Fangston.
Shit, throw up the social meds.
There you go. So thank you for listening. We are on the social media. We're at MedSideStef, MedSide, on Twitter. I'm sorry. God damn it. We're on Twitter, MedSideStef, MedSideSuff. I can't change it up, apparently. Otherwise, I fuck it up. We're on Facebook at Medical Stuff, and we're on Instagram at MedicalStuff52.
And if you'd like to send an email, please do. You can catch us at MedSideStef@yahoo.com.
You're laughing at the fact that I forgot that was our email address, didn't you?
A little bit.
Thank you all for listening. Spread the love. Be good to each other. And we will talk to you next week. And that is a
toast.